Good evening. I'm Ali Smulders, and with me is Laurie Harrison, and we are ready for another edition of Once Upon an Island, Tales from Lopez. Today is special. We are not on the island. We are actually in Burlington at the Creekside Retirement Community, and we will be talking with two Lopez ladies. Laurie, would you introduce them?
Yes. So our guests today are Marguerite McCauley Goodrow and her sister-in-law, Ona Jean Gallinger Goodrow, who live here now in Burlington, but we're both have these long histories on Lopez. And so we're going to ask Marguerite to begin by telling us when your family came to Lopez and when you were born, a little bit of detail, and then we'll hear from Ona Jean, and then we'll let the stories roll.
Well, my parents came to the island in 1907, but my dad had come previously, I think about 1905, with my grandparents. My grandmother was Jane Buchanan, and her brother had settled on Lopez Island. And so he had encouraged the family to come from Canada to San Juan County, and first my grandparents went to San Juan Island, and none of the family liked it there. There were six boys in the family that had come with them, including my dad, and so they moved to Lopez Island, and then my dad went back to Canada. He and Mom had been married in 1904, and They came to the island then in 1907, and their first home was on the Dill Road, in a little house on the Dill Road. And that's where my brother was born in September 1908. They ended up with the McCauley farm, but they had 40 acres and that they rented at first and then eventually bought. And I was born in this location October 16th 1915, and when I was 2 years old, the folks bought another 40 acres and they moved the house to the present location, which is the reason they moved was on account of the well. They needed My brother was having to pump water for the cattle, and it was nice to be all in one location. So they moved the granary. They moved several buildings up there anyhow, and we lived in the granary while they got the house all settled. And that's where I got so scared of mice. I hated mice. And so from there, now, where do I go?
So that was already 80 acres that you had there.
Yeah, well, then they added 80 more acres onto their farm. They had 160 acres altogether.
And what did they grow?
Oh, a variety of, they had hay, and they had peas and vetch, oats, wheat. Yeah, several different crops. Mm-hmm. And they had sheep and dairy cattle, pigs.
Everything.
Yeah.
I don't know what vetch is.
It's a black seed. I don't know what they use it for. In fact, I had a string of beads that was made of vetch.
Huh.
You've seen vetch, haven't
you? I've heard of it.
It's the same about the size of peas.
Okay.
But it is vetch.
When
I don't know what they use it for.
Yeah. When I think of 160 acres, I think of a heck of a lot of work. Did your family, how many family members worked this, or was it a group of families?
Just family.
Wow.
Well, there's some of that was rocks, you know. the big hill back of the house was all rocks, and there's a lot of it couldn't, some woods and couldn't be farmed, but yes, they had a good farm.
How many brothers and sisters?
One brother.
So that's it, just the two of you,
Sam was 7 years older than I. Mm-hmm.
So did you help out on the farm as children already?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
you had certain chores that came up?
I used to help my dad pull mustard in the summer, or in when the mustard was, he was very particular on his fields being cleaned of that, and that was a job, get sunburned.
Did he clear those fields, or were they already farmable?
Yes, I'm sure they were all farmable. I can't remember him doing any clearing.
What might be some of your earliest memories, Marguerite? Besides the mice.
Oh, yeah. Well, I heard somebody talking about a root house when we lived down on the first place the house was. There was a hill that went down towards the Richardson Road and our bank, and we had a root house in there. And I never remember being in anybody else's root house, but I do remember that one. And it's
Root cellar. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't have too many memories of living down there, but I do have a lot from up there. And then a kind of an unusual thing, when I was 5 years old, the folks rented, it was the Salisbury place then. I don't know who lives there now. It's on the road where you go down to Islanddale. There's a yellow house, Fred Bartholomew was the last that I knew that lived there. And my dad rented that to farm that year, and instead of going back and forth, every day they moved down there, moved their cows and everything down there so they could farm that. Huh. And that's where my brother showed me how to, these little log cabin syrup cans, you know, and the little chimney in them. He showed me how to put straw in that and have the smoke come out.
Make a real fire in it.
Yes, and so on a Thursday morning, when Mom was doing things in the house, I went out and I put straw in there and I took matches and I lit it. Well, the first time I got it out, I had a dress on and I fanned that out. And the straw had started to catch fire, and I lit it again, and that was it. The straw stack was on fire, and it was right by the barn. I ran into the house, and Mom said, "Go get your dad, he's in the field." He and Swear Trellis were working in the fields. And they saw the smoke, so I never saw them at all. They were already came to the barn, and that thing was terrible. It was just awful. There was no fire equipment on the island, and they carried buckets of water trying to put that out. But it smoldered for several days. You know, you'd think they'd think they had it out, and they didn't. And you know, I never got a spanking for that.
And how old were you?
Five.
5 years old.
Yes, it was the summer before I went to school that fall, but that wasn't really my fault. Sam shouldn't have showed me how to do that.
It wasn't the barn that burned it, but it was...
No, just the straw stack, but it was right by the barn, and you know, if a wind had come up, and my gosh, that barn would have gone too, but they managed to get it out. But
when you say a straw stack, is that a big pile of...
Yeah, it's from thrashing.
Okay.
You know, when they thrash and they make a big straw stack from the straw.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. I really felt bad. I thought I should have been punished, I guess, but...
Oh, that's a dramatic early memory.
Yeah, that is one of my memories of being a little girl. Yeah. And that was that same summer that was the first car the folks had. They got it when we were down there.
What kind of a car do you happen to know?
Little Ford. Four door. Or was there maybe three doors, I guess, on those first ones. There wasn't a door. Well, anyhow.
There weren't many cars on the island at that time.
No, not too many. Of course, there wasn't a big population there either at that time, but that was the first one. And my mom said that they weren't getting a car unless she learned to drive, so Homer Murray, who they bought the car from him, taught her how to drive, and I don't know whether he did a wonderful job or not. Mom wasn't the best driver in the world.
Now, somebody told me along the line that, and in those days, please correct me if I'm wrong, that like Dill Road got, the swale in Dill Road got impassable in winter, so some of the roads were kind of seasonal for driving, is that right?
I suppose so, I don't remember that, but I would do quite a difference. Of course, that was back in 1921, so that's a long time ago. Well, how about Ona Jean telling a few?
Ona Jean, how did you get here? Tell us your family history here on this island, would you?
What do you want me to start out with?
Well, with your maiden name, for starters, because that's going to mean a lot here.
Okay. My maiden name was Ona Jean Gallinger. I was the one and only daughter of Bob and Edelyn Gallinger. Okay. I was born December the 8th, 1924, in Anacortes, Washington, where my dad was employed in the shingle mill. My dad was born on Locust in 1897. My mother was born off an island in Alaska called Edelyn Island in 1904, but she was raised on Locust Island.
Well, your dad was born on Lopez in 1897. Right. Did he tell you stories?
Yes.
Well, will you tell us a little bit about that? Does anything come to mind about what, 100 years ago? And more, 110.
Well, he had 12 brothers and sisters. There was a 13 in the family. So you can see they were kind of busy with babies.
Wow. What was your dad's first name?
Robert. But they called him Bob.
Bob, so. Yeah.
Bob. Mm-hmm.
Right.
12 brothers and sisters.
And you all, they were located on the southern end, south end of the island? No,
they were on the north end.
Okay.
Where David Bill lives now.
Okay.
The house they were born and raised in. I don't think they, no, Daddy was born up towards the cemetery in a log cabin. But anyhow, the home that was built for them was where David Bill lives now. And that house burned down. And so they moved across the road into, I don't remember the name of the people that owned it, but they added some bedrooms on, which they had to, of course.
Sure.
But the one thing about the house that they built before it burned was, with 13 children, they had what they called the parents' room was downstairs, and the children's rooms were upstairs, two bedrooms. One's the girls' room and one's the boys' room. And they always were anxious for somebody to get married and get out of the bed so there'd be room for more. I can remember in the girls' room, there were two beds, full beds. And you know, there were a lot of little bodies in there.
You didn't get your own bed in those days?
No, you didn't.
It was like a bunk room, but no, right. Not a bunk for everybody.
Yeah. And of course, there were only three boys, so they didn't have to, the rest were girls.
Squeeze in so tight.
Right, right.
Wow.
So,
How did your dad make a living on Lopez?
He bought a farm at the south end of the island. It's called Telegraph Bay.
Okay.
It's where the first telegraph came across from Whidbey. But that was before we bought it, of course, or my dad bought it. And there were 76 acres. And so he milked cows and farmed, and the book he kept for years and years of the money he made and what he spent is at the Historical Society in Lopez.
At the museum.
Very interesting.
Wow.
If you want. Yes. Nothing. Everything was written down. Even a baby bottle for me, or diapers, or whatever, you know. And Mark got such a kick out of that, reading that. But it told, and you wondered how they made it in those days with the little bit of money they made. It's really historical stuff, really is.
Let's wait just a minute for this. Okay, the clock's done chiming now. It's beautiful. What about some of your earliest memories?
Well, we had to go to Irondale School, which is sometimes called Mud Bay School, but we didn't like it called Mud Bay. It sounded dirty. So anyhow.
And it's down. It's the one down on the corner as you turn down towards Watna.
Right.
Right.
And there were eight grades, first through eighth. And you had all in one room, one teacher taught us all. So you did learn from the ones ahead of you. You did learn. Yeah. It was interesting. Because, of course, when you're in first grade, you didn't think anything about it. But then the older you got, the more you learned from that grade ahead of you. So I think school was easier for us, maybe, with having more than one grade in a room.
And I'm trying to picture that on a Jean, where there are like 12 kids in the classroom. Was it?
Not very many of us.
Not very many.
Because at Telegraph Bay, you came from our property, and there was Charlie Noyd and Lee Wilson's family, which that was quite a big family. Yeah. And eventually we had a school teacher and her husband that built a house down there. Her name was Mrs. Engel. She taught us in our school. And then up the road a ways was the Hastons, Phil Hastons' mother and father, George and Helen, and their three boys. And then you went on to the next place was where Aunt Mariah lived. I can't think of her last name. Aunt Mariah. And then you just went on to up to the school, which must have been a mile or better from our place to the school that you had to walk.
You walked it.
Right.
Sure. That wasn't Corman, was it? Corman?
Yes.
Then?
Aunt Mariah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you walked to school.
Right. And I wished I had kept track of how many of us went to that school, because there weren't a lot of us in there, really.
Well, the Traumas girls were there with me, and Artie Stemlin.
And Traumas. The Normans.
Traumas.
Arthur Norman's family, which was Betty.
Well, Norman's parents.
Right. And, but all the other people were more or less older. The Manson girls were through school.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they did the janitor work at our school. Somebody said they got $5 a month.
Wow,
the janitor work.
We got 15 for doing the two rooms a month.
Right.
But that was a little bit later.
Right.
I guess.
Well, that was in 38 and 39.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was later.
Mm-hmm. My grandfather janitored the church. My father had memories of that as a little whippersnapper going with his father to light the fire in the church on Sunday mornings back in Kansas.
Well, and our school was a church on Sunday mornings.
It was.
On Lopez, in those days when Grandpa Goodrow was the minister, he had church at Lopez, Center Church, and Islanddale School. Yeah.
Right. And when you say at Lopez, that's in the village.
Yes.
What we call village.
Yes. Yeah. In those days, it was a congregational church.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He'd hold services three different places on Lopez.
On a Sunday.
Because
on
it was too difficult for people to go to one place.
Right.
So,
It was, you just don't think about it.
No.
You start talking about it like you're here.
So
things start coming to you.
So you were through eighth grade at this, at Mud Bay, not to be called Mud Bay School.
Yeah.
Islanddale, and then what happened school-wise?
Well, they had a consolidation. Do you remember when the consolidation was?
Must have been about 1940.
I think so, because
go ahead.
The reason, because I got to go a few months at what we call a new school, where it is now.
Right.
Yeah, to finish out my 11th year.
I think it might have been 41, because
my dad was on the school board. I got all of that stuff someplace.
Oh, Mary Harris named it.
She did the consolidate,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I know, yeah. We were doing janitor work when Barbara was born, and that was 1940, because Barney didn't get the, he didn't do it.
Really?
Yes, he did, but at Christmas time, we had to go down there early when he let it go at Christmas.
Well,
so
that's all right.
That was 1940, and but so it must have been 41, the consolidation, 41, 42.
Because after they consolidated, of course, they didn't have the school, so I went to Islanddale. I went to Port Stanley School. I went to Locust School. I went to Center Island School. Every grade you jumped
around.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I even got to go to what we call the new school. So I went to every school on Locust Island in those days.
Oh. And you graduated from high school here then?
No, I got married instead, remember?
Oh.
So how did you get there? Did somebody take you to?
And oh, they had a bus.
Yes,
they had a
yeah.
bus.
The kids changed at center school.
Yeah.
Remember,
you were hippie hopping in buses.
How did that work? They bused you to the center school, and then they
They brought the certain grades were at center school, wasn't that the way?
That's the way. Certain grades were in different schools.
So
because in all of this talk we've done. In the meantime, my uncle died, but we had to move from the Telegraph Bay up to where David Bill lives now, and for my dad to save the farm before the went into bankruptcy in those days, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they had that word then or not. But
struggling a lot.
Yes.
So,
so anyhow, we moved up there. So then I didn't have so far. Mm-hmm. If we went to the South End, it was for a picnic then,
well,
I guess.
It was always such a great thing when you get out of school. The kids all go, we'd fill the whole roadway walking down the road together. And then some would go this way and some go that way. Finally, I'd end up going all by myself the rest of the way.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And Marguerite, you were telling us you went to high school in Friday Harbor. Could
yes.
you tell us a little bit about that and why you didn't stay on Locust?
There was no high school then.
The high school was at down at Lopez, and that was one of them would have taken me each day. It was too far to walk. And so we decided, because the ranch house had moved to Friday Harbor, and I had a lot of relations over there too that I did know, but they decided it would be just as easy for me to go over there. So Mom would take me down to the mail boat down at Port Stanley, and that was a long old dock to walk out to get on this little mail boat. And I'd go over on Monday morning, and I'd come back Friday evening on the mail boat. And that I did that for the first 2 years. The folks paid for my board and room, which was $5 a week, $1 a day. And the next 2 years, I worked for my board and room. I stayed with Mrs. Churchill. She boarded teachers. So it was pretty interesting, and there was a beautiful view, because they moved the Churchill house now to another location, because they've got different buildings. They built different buildings, but her place overlooked the water. You see the boats coming in and all the waterfront. It was a nice place to stay, plus she was a lovely lady. And yes, I enjoyed Friday Harbor. Another thing I was thinking about, you remember the West Virginia? John Henry said that West Virginia, that boat that every Saturday it went to Friday Harbor at noon. And that was really nice, the little passenger boat. Don't you remember that boat?
Mine was probably before my time.
Oh, okay. Well, anyhow, Uncle Andy Buchanan, who was my grandmother's brother, always met the West Virginia to see who came from Locust. And he always would say, here, kid, here's a nickel. And I'd go up to the fountain and always get an ice cream cone, but I always was anxious to go to Friday Harbor and see Uncle Andy.
And how often might you do that?
Oh, maybe once a month. Whenever the folks were going, I always got to go. Of course, that was the county seat. You know, there was always businesses to do over there.
And Uncle Andy was actually your great-uncle, right?
Yeah.
Because he was your grandmother's.
Yes, my grandmother's brother.
Brother, right.
Yeah. Yeah, he was another one that came from the east because of my Uncle Jim Buchanan. Uncle Jim Buchanan had gone to California and up to Alaska, and then he came back to Lopez, and that's where he had a sister, Aunt Maggie Hemphill, and his brother, there's Uncle Bill Buchanan, and that came out too, that moved to Friday Harbor. So I do have a lot of relations, descendants from those families over there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you had said that you were younger than your classmates, skipped a few grades, so what was that like? I mean, you graduated high school at 15 then.
Yeah.
So you were pretty young to be out of the nest. 15.
Well, yeah. You know, it was strange. There was a couple other students in that class that had skipped a grade, so, but it is kind of young. It's, yeah, I agree, it is. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember getting homesick because you were climbing in bed at night or anything?
The only time that I really missed it was in the spring when I'd hear the little lambs bleating. Because I did, the folks had sheep at home. And Harry King, who had worked at the Carter's grocery store, when his sheep were lambing, he was always out on the street when I'd go over on Monday morning. This was the first 2 years I was going with. Go over Monday morning to see, because I would check, the folks would go with me, of course, to go up and check his sheep and lambs, and he always gave me a silver dollar.
Wow.
Yeah, for checking on his sheep. Mm. So that was kind of nice. Silver dollars were quite common at that time, though they're rare now. And then... Yeah, I know your grandfather had a boat too, a little boat, but there was another on every, I guess that was Saturdays too, that it was that Louis Schroeder had the little Bessie, do you remember it, the boat? And he'd go to Anacortes for people to do their shopping, which was pretty nice.
Was that when my grandpa took over?
Well, what was it? Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Well, they wouldn't both go from the same place.
I don't think so, Wilma Jean. Yeah, that's probably that your granddad did.
Because he built my grandfather's boat.
Oh, uh-huh. Well, I don't know about that, but I know the one that we went on was the little Bessie. Yeah.
So you never went on the Jean G?
I don't think so, Wilma Jean.
My grandpa. And I can't call him grandpa. When I was little, I couldn't say grandpa, and I called him Packy. So when I got older, I tried to call him grandpa. No, Packy. So Packy was Packy till the day he died. But he had several boats, but the last one he had built was, he named it after his one and only grandchild, Jean G. And he did. He went to Anacortes every Saturday and took people from the south end, because people from the north end went on some other boat, didn't they? I'm not sure.
And to get groceries, there was no market on Lopez?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
But there were things we needed from Anacortes.
Yes. And you had to go there for your dental work, your doctors, different things. So
either that or Friday Harbor.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my.
But when you think of it, Marguerite was between 11 and 15 when she was helping out and doing all kinds of things in the household of your, I don't know what to call it, but where you stayed during the week.
You were boarding.
Yeah, but you were boarding. And that was very young, if you compare it today to a girl of 12 or 13.
Well, I was
not much help.
12 in October, when I was a freshman, I wasn't quite 12, and then sophomore wasn't quite 13. So I wasn't quite 14 when I went to Mrs. Churchill's.
Right.
Am I right on that? 11? Yeah. 12. Yeah, and I started, help me out on this. So, I was 12, 13, 14, and I was 15 in October when I was a senior.
Right.
So I was 15 when I graduated.
So working for room and board, what kind of chores did you do in a Churchill situation?
I helped her with everything in the kitchen and cleaned rooms. Oh yeah, I did just about everything. But she was really, really a nice person to work for.
Back then, we all went and did things when we were younger than they do now. Mm-hmm.
Situation too, Amaji?
Yeah. My first really job that I had was babysitting Nora and Ed's little girl.
Oh, yeah.
And I got, $12 a month for that. So that was pretty good back then.
And how old were you?
I must have been 12, 13, along there.
Yeah. Oh, I know something I forgot was the berry picking in the...
Oh, I did that
too. Loganberry picking.
Mm-hmm. To make money or just to enjoy?
Sure, to make money.
Oh, okay.
I did that when, Mrs. Craig picked with me the first year because I couldn't reach the top of the berries. I made $25 that year. And that was, Mrs. Craig would pick and then she could reach over.
Yeah. And, is this on Lopez?
Yeah.
Yeah. What part of the island?
You know where the Hudson place is? Oh, what is that called?
Richardson. Richardson.
Yeah, down at Richardson. Mm-hmm. Where it's all a development
just
now.
There's, on that side.
It's, you went by Hudson's, you know where?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, there was that cleared field. There was, I think they had 12 acres of loganberries there. That was the first year that there was berries that I picked that year, and then I picked for, I guess, 10 years after that, every summer. That was quite a place. That's where I met Barney.
Ah. Did you ever work at the cannery?
Yes.
I thought you
did. Floating cannery. That was the same. That was in 1931, year I graduated there.
We had fish canneries then at Richardson.
So can you tell us about working, and did you also work there?
No,
that was later on, yeah. You came later. So can you tell us about working at the cannery and what the cannery... Well, just imagine that we know nothing about the cannery. So where was it?
It was a floating cannery that came in. I think it was Buggies, B-U-G-G-E, I think, from Port Townsend. The floating cannery, and they had a lot of fish that year. And, there was several of us from the island that worked there. And I did hand packing. That was the easiest part. I didn't do any of some of them worked in this sliming, I guess you'd call it, where they cleaned the fish.
Cleaning of the fish.
But I had a pretty good job where I just hand packed.
And that meant what? They handed you the cleaned fillets and you?
What came down, the fish came down,
as
I remember, and we just packed it in cans, but we had to put it in a certain way. So anyhow, and I got 25 cents an hour for that.
And this was salmon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was offshore? It was like a barge of some sort?
Right on this floating cannery. We just went out a walkway and got onto it. Mm-hmm. Oh, there must have been 15 or 20 people from the island that worked on it. Yeah.
So it was quite a bit later when they got the cannery at... McKay Harbor. That was much later.
The cannery that's built down there now, that big old building across from the water?
McKay Harbor.
Well, there's always been something down there, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about.
But you never worked there?
No. This was just a cannery that came
in the summertime.
In the summertime.
Well, they used to have a couple of canneries on the island. One burned down. The one right over by where the berry patch, and then there was the one out by that little island where they used to go skating. remember, that roller skated. That was an old cannery. I don't know whatever happened to it.
See, my mother went to Anacortes every summer and worked in the canneries to make extra money.
Hmm.
Right.
So these were hard times.
Oh, you bet.
You know,
yeah,
it's scary out there now, but it was really scary then.
Well, just like we did that janitor work down at the school,
right?
$15 a month, mm-hmm. but it was gas money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it paid for the gasoline we were using. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
In those days, you didn't have electric bills or that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You had a telephone bill, wasn't it, Marguerite?
Yeah.
The farmer's phone and the long-distance phone.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and part of the island was just local.
Right.
And that central office.
The farmer's.
Oh, it's up, yeah, it's up there by the airport. Is it still there?
Did they move it up there?
Yeah. And it sat on the corner down by
Parts.
Where Francis and Gerhardt are now.
That little building that says the Lopez phone, there's that little building right there.
No, that's over on the other corner. That was a long distance.
Oh!
Local, it's the Home Economic Club or some. Oh, Natalie Rausch bought it, didn't
yeah.
she? That used to be the local and long distance telephone.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one sat on the over on the corner where the blacksmith.
I thought it was up above where
Newport Stanley.
Brett and Jody lived. It was up there.
That was the farmer's.
Yeah.
Originally on the gene. Yeah. It was down on.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, they moved it from the corner right by Gerhardt's across from the house. It
okay.
was sat on the corner there. And then they moved it over by Brett's onto
okay.
that corner on the Aspen place.
Right.
And Mom had both phones. And they were in the corner. One was here and one was here. And people that had the didn't have both the phone. They wanted to talk. A person that had a long distance phone would want to contact somebody that had the just on the farmer's line. So they'd call Mom, and she'd have to transfer. And it was four shorts on both phones. Although the tone was different, but you knew it was your ring anyhow. Lots of rubbernecks.
What do you
that?
Mean, the rubbernecks?
Oh, yes.
Well, how did that work? Did their phone ring on ours or something?
No.
Our phone was long and too short, I remember that.
Those were the party,
phones. Yeah.
So you each had your own number. You knew when you came to the island, that's what they still
had. But
just,
when you called through to the central, you just asked for someone. You didn't give a number.
No, you didn't.
No. But I meant, how did you rubber on somebody else?
Oh, you just took the receiver. When you heard the phone ring, if you knew whose ring it was, you wanted to find out, you just went and listened.
Yeah. You learned all kinds of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody's cows are out and somebody's chasing them.
Yeah. Sometimes it wasn't too good to have a bunch of people listen either, though.
Yeah.
There's nothing you could do about it. If they're on your line and they heard your ring,
they could pick up.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I'd like to go back to this topic, Ona Jean, especially where you're saying that it was hard times back then, and you're both talking about working hard as young women for extra money and these kinds of things. Did people go hungry on Lopez in those days?
No.
I don't think so.
Anybody had anything extra, they gave it to their neighbor or
mm-hmm.
nothing was wasted. You think, Marguerite?
No, I don't think so. I think that's why we learned to save so much stuff, even be thrifty. Gosh, I remember Mom and she did a lot of crocheting, and the 49-pound flour sack, you know, were sold. And it was a heavy string, and she'd always rip those out, roll them up in a ball,
mm-hmm.
and use that for crocheting.
Right.
For long ends of towels, she had to be doing something all the time anyhow, knitting or crocheting, but You just learn to use things. I hate to throw things away, even a nice box, I hate to throw it away.
Yeah.
Right.
My father, for years and years, the only clothing he had was what his mother made out of flour sacks.
Oh, I wore bloomers.
You wore bloomers from flour sacks?
Fisher's Blend, yeah, I had to get that washed out of them before Mom could make them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, oh yes.
Yeah.
That was good material.
Yeah. When we interviewed Mary Harris, Allie said to her, well, what did you do for fun? And she just about exploded with laughter. She said, fun. So let's ask you all the question. When you were under 10 or whatever, what did you do for fun on Lopez?
I don't know. I don't know what I did. Especially, do you want to, Jane?
I can't think of anything. I just liked to go to my grandma's house. There was somebody to play with. I had an aunt that was 2 years younger than me. Aunt Thea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's but well. I don't know. I guess I never did get bored though. But I didn't
we were
have
busy, a, I guess, a lot of time.
I didn't have a lot of things to play with. I walked on stilts and. We played hopscotch at school and a lot of games at school, but
yeah.
I guess I probably was pretty busy helping Mom.
Sure kept you busy. Yeah. So when did you meet Barney?
Met him in the berry patch picking berries in 1931. Then we worked in the cannery following that. I went with him till 1937. I was 2 years ahead of him in high school.
Yeah, and she never let him forget it.
Well, he was 6 days older, and he should have been ahead of me. Yeah, he was. His birthday was the 10th of October, and he was born the same year. Well, that was a lovely family anyhow.
Yep.
Couldn't have had nicer in-laws, I don't think, than their boy's parents.
And they're down to two now, isn't it?
Yes.
Faith and Alda.
Mm-hmm.
My husband had a twin sister, but she's in a nursing home now. Not doing very good.
Well, so for folks who are listening in, they don't know yet that you all are sisters-in-law and that you married the brothers. So can you tell us some how all that happened?
That?
Did we say that? I can't remember.
I can't remember.
But could you tell us how the boys... They weren't born here on Lopez, where they came from and how that kind of happened. So you all were being raised up here and going to school and picking the berries and having your busy lives, both on farms.
They first came out to Orting, I think.
Yes.
And from South Dakota.
New Underwood, was it?
I know Barney went to school in Orting for a while.
What year did they come to the island?
1929 in the fall.
Well, Forrest would be from the school in Orting also.
But I don't know. Barney graduated from the 8th grade back in South Dakota. I do know that.
Do you happen to know why the Goodrow family decided to come out to the island?
It was a minister, was it?
Yeah, that was the reason they came to the island.
Yeah.
Because I remember them saying he could have had a church in Lois, Idaho, or up on Lopez.
He was a congregational minister. In those days, they sort of stuck to whatever. I don't think you hear the word congregational anymore, do you?
Well, you do.
Do you?
In California, I heard it. Yeah, there was a congregational church where we lived.
There's so many different branches
right now.
Right.
So he came out because there was a calling for a minister for the church on Lopez.
Yes.
Then, and he brought in how many children?
10.
Yeah, but they didn't all come to Lopez.
No.
Dwayne and the three boys and six of them came to Lopez.
Okay.
Is that right? Yeah, Dwight and Hilton and the two girls that passed away. Those, yeah. Six of them came to the island. And they always had a house full.
Yes.
Oh, how she managed it.
I don't know how she did it.
Yeah, I don't either.
Because of having so many children or what? Or so many guests? Well,
that was a bad time, too. We were in depression, really.
It was in the 30s.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember Gerhard, when I had spoken with Gerhard and Francis 6-7 years ago, and they said that they followed the Goodrows out here, and that they came out because it was tough. They weren't finding enough on the table in the Dakotas, and so I think their friends, the Goodrows, said, "There's apples here. There's food. Come on and give it a try." So, you all are saying that you all were already here, but these were tough times.
They were. Mm-hmm.
Oh boy, yes, it was. Although we always had plenty of heat, gardens and canned stuff, and our own chickens.
We weren't as spoiled in those days that we are now.
Now, I thought to remember that somebody had apple orchards. What's that?
Oh, they did have a... there was a time when they had a lot of apple orchards on the island.
Especially down by the lake. What was that man's name?
Oh.
Clulo. Was he the one that had all the apples?
Well, their Clulo did live there. I didn't know that's who you were thinking of. And out on the Pinkhams, I think they had a lot. And they had a lot down on the Downey place, too, down below us.
Yes.
A lot of orchards, yes, and they shipped apples, but...
A lot of them had we had a good sized one at Telegraph Bay.
Yeah.
But that also, there were fish canneries in those days, weren't there? So they had a lot of summer workers come in during fishing season. Do you know you could almost walk on the boats from Locust Island to Whidbey Island? There were so many fish in those days.
Really?
Really. Yes, you could just. Have you got any pictures to that effect?
Did you eat a lot of fish at the evening table?
No, it just was a.
The profession. That's what you made.
Yeah, that was it. That's how they made their living.
Right.
Well, that's why there's so many fish canneries.
Oh, here's a picture of old Richardson's store. That's the store I remember right here. And this is it. There's a picture
still. Extinct, or was it still?
Oh, just still there.
That's a good picture of it up there. Yeah.
Oh,
so for the folks that are listening in, what can you all tell us about Richardson's store?
Well, it just about had everything you wanted, didn't it, Marguerite?
Yeah. Well, this is the store I remember. It's up on the hill here.
Oh.
That was before they moved down to below, and also it shows the pool hall where I first went to Sunday school.
She went to Sunday school.
Been formerly. But the Richardson store, see this building up here, that's the old store. And
look at all those
and this
boats.
Building here was a pool hall, and the church was up above, and then you came down the outside and went into a room down below. You see it's on the rock, and that's where I went to Sunday school. Eva Higgins and May McLeod were two of my teachers, Mary Gorm.
And it says here that it's the Richardson store and post office.
Yes, they had a post office there. They also had one down at Mud Bay for a while, across from Ethel Fairholmes. I don't remember the name of the people.
And then my Uncle Frank had the Port Stanley store and post office. Uncle Frank Kilpatrick. Heard that before.
Down by the dock there, that long dock.
That long dock, isn't that?
Where the Alvarine would pull in, yeah.
Right.
Wow. So what did you eat?
Whatever the farm.
Yeah, just whatever was.
Well, in those days, you ate rabbits, you ate whatever. It was wild.
I never had any rabbit meat.
You didn't?
Did you eat deer meat too?
Yes.
Yeah, venison. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but we always had our own beef and the pork, chickens.
Oh, okay.
Geese.
In those days, you salted your meat and you canned it. You didn't have freezers and things like that.
And lots of canned vegetables and
fruit
and
cans
and
jams.
Do you remember when the farm started to have tomatoes?
We always had tomatoes.
You always had tomatoes.
We always had them.
Your vegetable garden.
You're running out of juice, kid.
This is a picture of the old blacksmith shop. That I think it's still there, but it was on the corner then.
By Kring's. Uh-huh. Is this across from Kring's?
And the dance hall was upstairs.
Oh yes,
there was a blacksmith
dancing.
Oh
my! We forgot about that.
My, the dance hall and the blacksmith.
Well, it was John and Lena Wilson owned the.
We have to apologize to our listeners who cannot see the pictures that we are looking at.
Well, and you know what we're going to do right now is we're going to call this first hour to a close. Okay. And thank you both so much for these wonderful, wonderful stories. And we're going to come back next month and hear more stories from you.
Okay. Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord. Because you can see we've just barely begun. So for the listeners, if you want to hear more about the dance hall on Lopez and the blacksmith shop, we will join you next time.